creating buffer zone for ISIL or ISIS. So I am sure this supporting will return to them in favor. I mean, very soon we will see that ISIL will do something Osama bin Laden did in September the 11th. So I think both countries want to actually impose their own view on Muslim world, but they will not be successful for that.
Okay, look, Javed, I need to press on. An excellent call. I just need to respond to a couple of things. You're right about the dangers of another 9/11. In fact, there have been many arrests in Britain and many plots, we're told, that have been intercepted for a spectacular, probably not on the level of 9/11, but a spectacular enough crime involving murder and maiming of significant individuals or large numbers of individuals. So you're right about that. I just need to make this point. Not all Salafists are Wahhabists, and not all Wahhabists are ISIS or ISIL. There are many decent Sunni Muslims who would regard themselves as Salafists, who would regard themselves as Wahhabis, who are not the enemy of other Muslims. They may have a particular perspective on Islam that many will find unattractive. I do myself. But it's a legitimate trend. Both are legitimate trends. Where they become illegitimate is where they mutate into sectarian hatred and violence, murder and maiming and terrorism. And that's exactly what happened with bin Laden. And you're right, it was the United States and Great Britain principally using the money from Arab regimes in the Persian Gulf who built that monster. And look what happened as a result. Thanks, Javed, in Iran. Let's go to Leicester, talk to Shabir on the same subject. Shabir, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Go ahead.
Excellent. I just want to mention that this farcical entity similar to Israel that calls itself by the name of its royal family, this so-called Saudi Arabia, really needs to pay a lot of attention to what's happened historically. They should talk to their friends in Israel and actually learn something, perhaps. Because when Israel went and attacked the Secretary General of Hezbollah, Sheikh Raghib Harb, and then said Abbas al-Musawi, all it did is make the resistance way stronger. So if these takfiris who occupy Arabia are going to go and essentially assassinate using law, or whatever what passes for the law over there, Sheikh Nimr, they're further signing their death warrant. So yes.
I suspect that you're right about that. The king, it was said in the previous caller that the king of Saudi Arabia was responsible for funding ISIS. I should have said that I don't agree with that. But the Saudi regime has undoubtedly turned a blind eye to private funding of these Al-Qaeda-affiliated type organizations. There's no doubt about that at all. Moreover, the official Saudi regime has poured huge sums of money and weapons into the so-called Syrian opposition. And that money, and certainly those weapons, were promptly taken off the people who were given them by Al-Qaeda, which has now spawned several different grouplets, including what we call ISIL. But I agree with you entirely that executing Sheikh al-Nimr will not be a solution to the problems of Arabia. It will merely multiply those problems. But dictatorships of all kind find it difficult to learn lessons, Shabir, don't you think?
Unfortunately, this is the case. And history tells us that a dictatorship, when it feels threatened, which is most of the time, to be fair, because the whole regime is based on a very weak platform, generally tend to, even if someone looks at them the wrong way, they tend to go crazy and carry out psychotic activities against them. I mean, all Sheikh Nimr was saying and has been saying is that we want equal rights for all of the people of Arabia.
Yeah.
Not just this tiny ruling clique of takfiris who are essentially sharing this extreme ideology with the people who are carrying out carnage in Syria and Iraq.
Can I just engage you on that,
sure.
Shabir? I don't believe that this tiny regime in Arabia are takfiris or Salafists or Wahhabists. They're hypocrites. If you saw them in London, when they get off the aeroplane, the men and the women, you saw the kind of lives that they lead in London when they're here, or in Beirut for that matter, you would realize that the last thing in the world they are genuine Wahhabis. They are here in London to gamble and to commit every sin known to man, and some we didn't even know about. They gamble, they do every bad thing when they are here. So it's when they're there, they pretend to be. I believe they're riding the tiger of Islamic extremism. They're not themselves extreme Islamists. What do you say?
You're right. They're not, one could argue they are not even within any religion. Leave Islam on one side, no religion, no moral system accepts people who behave in this way. Because like you say, they're hypocrites. With one face, they say one thing. We're the custodians of the two holy places, and we organize the Hajj, but we destroy all of the monuments and special places and historical artifacts all over Mecca, Medina, and the rest of occupied Arabia. And on the other hand, just exactly as you said very rightly, when they come to Europe, when they come to other parts of the world, they act like the worst playboys. In fact, there's evidence of them, of their Bahraini buddies, of their Emirati buddies, all of these people behaving in a way that is just despicable. I don't have the right word for it, and I couldn't say it on the air even if I did. Mm. But these people are almost a stain, a blot upon humanity, like the Zionists who occupy. But they're peas in the same pot. They're exactly the same, just two sides of the same coin, like others say.
And indeed, in some places, they work closely with each other.
So.
The guy, I forget his name, the prince, the son of Talal, who owns a good slice of Fox News, owns a good slice of Sky News, owns the Disneyland and so on. This man is as far away from a pious Muslim as it's possible to be, but he's an honored member of the inner circle of this regime, whilst being in alliance with Rupert Murdoch, one of the world's leading Zionists. He owns TV stations with Rupert Murdoch. And we're supposed to believe that he is a Wahhabi. Abdul Wahhab would be off with his head in 5 minutes. Shabir, thanks. A really good call. I really enjoyed talking to you. Hassan is in London on the same subject. Hassan, welcome.
Thank you very much, George. Hi there. Literally, I've got my comment and is really simple. Double standard. You just mentioned about double standard being in the Saudi royal family. I'm talking about the double standard in Britain right now, because we're talking about freedom of speech, accepting religious minorities, blah, blah. And then, we're really good close ally with Saudi Arabia just because of the military deals and all the oil deals that we have, which is nonsense. And when you look at they're not appreciating in Saudi Arabia, they're not respecting any of the religious minority and the minority, like this, for instance, the Shia minority over there, it's around 20% something of the whole population. And they say, okay, in the Hajj season, everyone's allowed to practice their own sort of faith of Islam. But when you see it actually when you go inside the airport or even in Medina or Mecca, they're just preaching the Wahhabi ideology and the Salafi ideology. And if you want to, you can't even have like books, holy books or books of supplication in for like Shia books, for instance. And then at the end of the day, when you look at the whole ISIS and the whole ideology of the ISIS has been sponsored and has been sort of funded from Saudi Arabia, from Abdul Wahhab. And it just literally shows as well. A few years back, Saudi was the biggest supporter helping the FSA and the ISIS in Syria. Mm. And even Britain was helping them, Turkey was helping them. And now they're saying, oh, we need to have a military intervention over there in Saudi Arabia, against ISIS, which is nonsense. And they're just bombing Iraqi military or even bombing Syrian infrastructure. And yet, at the end of the day, this is a point, at the end of the day, when you see with in Britain, they're still close allies with Saudi Arabia, and on the opposition side, which is like, for instance, the minority, religious minority of Shias in Saudi Arabia or in Yemen, they're having a peaceful protest, and they're being cracked down and knocked out by the Saudi support and money. And that goes both in Yemen and Bahrain, which is literally, the question here is why we're still having a relationship with Saudi Arabia as a British country. And it's just, this relationship is just covered in blood and soaked in blood, that's it.
Yeah, the only point, again, I need to engage you on is, don't blame the Sunnis for that. The Sunnis are oppressed by these regimes as well as the religious minorities are oppressed. And we need to make common cause between Muslims of all kinds who are oppressed by tiny elites of hypocrites who are neither one thing nor the other. They are absolute hypocrites. They speak the language, no doubt, of the fanatics, but their playboy lives, I don't know how they live there. I certainly know how they live here. Now, I need to take a very short break, just for 3 minutes, for a short news bulletin. We're talking about ISIL, and we're talking about Saudi Arabia and the imminent, perhaps imminent, execution of the leader of the Shiite minority in Saudi Arabia. Two very big questions and inextricably linked. So, in 3 minutes, God willing, I'll still be here. I hope you will be. Don't go away.